and Gordon and I choreographed a complete unicycle jousting fire show. The jousting sticks were on fire. The shields were on fire. The unicycles had wick in the spokes. And we had fire rope.
Riding a unicycle is amazing fun, and it is not as hard as you imagine. It is great for overall fitness, and if you are a performer, it can enhance all your shows. Listen to these three phrases. Unicycle.com, Unicycle.com China, and shop 4852-81050.taobao.com. That's Taobao, TAOBAO.com. Because the best place to get a unicycle is at unicycle.com. If you are in Hong Kong or in Taiwan, it is so convenient to use unicycle.com China's online Taobao store, because the freight is so much cheaper. I just ordered a new unicycle seat and a seat post from unicycle.com China's Taobao store, and the shipping was free. That's right, free. You can't get better than that. These people really know their stuff and offer the best unicycle deals in the world. Unicycle.com China can even send you specific items that you can't find on their website. Just ask for Alex at unicycle.com China. So go there right now and get yourself a unicycle. The links are in the description. Unicycling feels like you are flying. This week I'm very happy to talk about unicycling, the history of unicycling in Britain. I'm talking to the amazing, the fantastic, wonderful Mr. Russell Wells.
I guess it must have been maybe 1991 or 1992. I went to a juggling convention in Britain. And in one room, there was this guy who had maybe some ice hockey sticks and some tennis balls or something, and some sort of goals. And he was organising unicycle hockey. And I just learnt to ride a unicycle about 6 months earlier. And I was really, really into it, because it was the only thing I could learn quickly. I was rubbish at juggling, I soon learnt. But unicycling, I learnt quite quickly. So I'd only been riding about 6 months, but I think I scored a goal on that first day when you were setting it up, because the guy there was you.
Yeah. And
now, 30 years later or so, I'm still playing unicycle hockey. So I wanted to know, when and where did you learn to ride a unicycle, and when and where did you start unicycle hockey?
About 35 years ago, I was going on holiday with my mother to visit my aunt. And we got to my aunt's house early. She was still at work. So we went round to the local shops, had a little look, and we went in the bike shop, and hanging up on the pillar opposite the door was a unicycle waiting for me to buy it. So I spent my holiday money on that, and then we drove back round to my aunt's. And for the next few days, I taught myself.
Wow.
And so my mum and my aunt were just in the house chatting and doing stuff. And I was out the front. And luckily enough, I didn't realise that I had the perfect teach-yourself unicycling platform.
She had a
step outside the house. And next to the step, she had a coal bunker, sort of a bin store type thing.
Yeah.
So I would rest on the coal bunker, and then what I call the live position, I'd put the pedals level off the ground.
Yeah.
And when I teach, I call it the live position, because you've got some movement there. And then I would do quarter of a pedal, fall off and get back on, do that for about an hour or so, and then get a bit further to maybe a half pedal a bit more. And over the next couple of days, I taught myself down her path, and about 5 meters, there was a main road. So when I learned to go about 5 meters, then I had to go across the road to a little cul-de-sac, and then teach myself how to free mount holding onto a lamppost.
Yeah.
And then I learned to turn. And yeah, so for about a week I was at my aunt's, and most of the time I was teaching myself to unicycle. And then we went to my next, that was in Horsham in Sussex. And then, because my aunt worked at Gatwick Airport. So then my mum and I went over to the Isle of Wight to visit my other aunt. She bought a lovely place on the Isle of Wight, not far from the sea. It came with its own dog. You had to own the dog. So I got there one day at the very far end of the allotment. The chicken coop was at the very far end. And at the other end, I left the house with the Christmas pudding bowl, which was for collecting the eggs. So I took that, cycled up about 200, 300 meters, got to the chickens, no eggs had been laid. So on my way back, it was about 100 yards from the house, and I could see my mother and my aunt both looking out the door.
Yeah.
And I know the pair of them were worried so much about things. So I was about 100 yards from the house, saw they were looking, and I fell off the unicycle on purpose to shock them and pretend I'd dropped the eggs. So when I was there, that's when I learned to ride on grass. So yeah, so I'd go up, ride on grass, collect the eggs or no eggs, and then cycle back down. Yeah, so that was the beginning of learning. And then, we're going on to hockey now, aren't we? So I learned the unicycle, and about a year, I met Noah, the unicyclist ever. So I was going around, found nobody unicycling. So I looked in the Yellow Pages under entertainers.
Yeah.
And I met a now very good friend and a good entertainer in the good old Yellow Pages, when there was pages and pages of entertainers. And Francis Maxey was the only circus entertainer in there.
Right.
So I rang him up and asked him if he'd teach me to juggle. So I went to his house and we went in the front room. He gave me one ball. He showed me what to do with one ball. He went off to the dining room with his wife and just left me doing one ball for 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Came back, showed him, good. Showed me how to do two balls. Good, and then three balls. So I stayed at his house for a few hours, and I might have picked up three ball by then, or I was well on my way. So yeah. Then he says, good timing, because you can come to the Cardiff University Juggling Club. And that was set up by a group of students who called the Juggling Club, so like Balls Up or something,
yeah.
One of the generic juggling names that was used.
Yeah.
So they started a juggling club called Balls Up in the university, and he said, come along to the juggling club. So there's a huge university hall in Cardiff, and people were juggling and unicycling all sorts. And they said, you come just at the right time, because next week we're playing our first game of unicycle hockey. So it was literally, yeah, I got there the week before their first game in unicycle hockey. So that was about 30, yeah, I'd done about a year's unicycling, so that was about 34 years ago.
So that was maybe about 1986 or 1987.
So we didn't have hockey sticks. They said that week, everybody buy a broomstick and put a rubber stopper on the bottom.
Yeah.
So I bought a broomstick, put rubber stuff on the bottom. I think I might put some spiral tape on it or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
So the following week came, and Bristol team came over.
Yeah.
So, Diane from Yatton, she used to call it Yatton on the Crease or something, because that's where it was on the map. She used to call it Yatton on the Crease. So little Diane and her son, they were both, he was a really good unicyclist. And that was the year I met Haggis McLeod from Haggis and Charlie fame. And now for the last last few years now, Haggis has been organising the Circus and Theatre Field at Glastonbury Festival. Because about 5 years ago, his wife Bella died on Boxing Day. And Bella was Winston Churchill's granddaughter.
Wow.
And she'd been co-running the festival, and then she started the Circus and Theatre Field.
Gosh.
Because everybody thinks Glastonbury started in the 60s, but it didn't. It started in 1970. Woodstock started in the 60s, and Glastonbury Festival started in 1970.
Right.
Yeah, so, but Haggis, he was the only one to have a broomstick with a rubber strap on. He had a field hockey stick.
Right.
See, a standard school hockey stick. So he had that. At each end of the hall, there was pillars. They were about 20 foot wide at each end. So they were the goals. We played with a football, just a light football. And then the goalies were just people on peg stilts. No sticks, just literally peg. Literally peg stilts.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was 34 years ago. And the referee was Tom Rack from Balls Up. And the five people who started Balls Up then went on and started No Fit State Circus.
Wow.
So they were the five original people who started the juggling club were the five who went on to start No Fit State Circus. So Tom Rack from Balls Up, now No Fit State, he was the referee. So he had short, black and white striped shirt, a whistle. So he, being an entertainer, he looked the part, but he was biased towards Bristol. So he was giving penalties and fouls against Cardiff. And our first ever game, we lost because somebody from our own juggling club was just comedy and biased and let Bristol win. But I might have scored a goal. I can't remember. Pete Gregory from No Fit State Circus is a really good unicyclist.
Yeah.
So he scored a few goals for us. And there was about 10 to 12 people per side.
Gosh.
I think we just worked out how many were in each team, and I think it might have been like 12 came over from Bristol, there might have been like 13 from Cardiff, and we just did a roll in sub in.
Yeah, because basically in unicycle hockey, it's a five-a-side per team sport.
So if you got tired or you injured, you go off and just be like ice hockey. If you just lift your stick or nodded at the bench, and then they'd just come in and out. So yes, that was the very first game.
Wow.
And then, yeah, after that, so 35 years ago would be, so what was that, 97?
87,
yeah. So then not long after, No Fit State invited me to go to a juggling convention with them. So we took one of their converted Mercedes into a sort of camper van type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, left my house at my mum's when I was living at home. So jumped in the van and we drove off to London. So that was in 1988. And that was the first British juggling convention.
Gosh.
So, I slept in the van and they all went and slept in a friend's flat. So I looked after the van and they all went and slept in a friend's flat. So that was fine because I was right next to the leisure centre.
Yeah.
So it was in Colombo Street in London.
Yes.
And it was organised by Charlie Holland and, Max Oddball.
Yes, these are all names I know and places. Colombo Street, I've been there.
Yeah, and the SEM cycle team came over.
Oh, wow.
With all the kids.
Yeah.
Holland allowed the kids to leave Holland with adults and their parents' passports. But the UK wouldn't let kids in unless they had the parent or their own part. It was the usual UK bureaucracy. They were allowed to leave Holland, but they weren't allowed to leave to come into the UK if they didn't have their. So the whole team left, but one child had to go home. And who took him home and never came back? Sem himself.
Yes, Sem Abrahams is a legend amongst unicyclists. From Holland, he became the unicycle world champion. And his family built a wonderful unicycle called the Sem Cycle. And I have very fond memories of his dad, his brother Yuri, and Sem Abrahams at various conventions in the 1990s. What a legend.
So I know. So in 1988, I could have met Sem then, but I didn't. I met his nice dad. Have you met Sem's dad?
Oh, Sem's dad is lovely. And a quick shout out to people who are joining us. Sem was the unicycle world champion. They built a brilliant unicycle. It was probably one of the best unicycles you would get in the late
1980s. Well, it was a thin frame, so it actually moved side to side to reduce the seat pain and frame actually flexed.
Yeah, it's a lovely design.
And then I don't know if his brother came over, Yuri. I don't know if Yuri came over or not, but his dad, I can't remember his dad's name now. Yeah, but the dad and the kids team came over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was quite a bit of unicycling at the first British Juggling Convention.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if it's just before or just after, there was an event in Covent Garden in London.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a juggling meetup in Covent Garden.
Mm.
And on the side street, just around the corner from the main pitch, 87 or 89, there was this event. And I just started, or I took over. Did I originally start or took over? The UK Unicycle Federation.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever heard of it. Somebody took it on after me, and then obviously eventually it went online. But it had to be called the United Kingdom Unicycle Federation, because any other way, the acronym would have been rude. So it was UK-US. So it couldn't be the Federation of UK Unicyclists, and it couldn't be the Unicycle Federation UK. So it had to be the United Kingdom Unicycle Federation. Yeah, so I set that up and used to write every other month or something and sent them out, photocopied them onto a different colour paper.
Yes.
And I think my first member, I don't know the guy's name, the first member was a really colourful unicyclist. I think he had a multicoloured beard, multicoloured hair, tie-dye clothes. But the other unicyclist then saying I did meet there was Dave. He used to be called Dave, but he changed himself to Dave.
Yeah.
Because people could find him. Because if you go in a bar and call out Dave, you get like 20 people turning round. So he changed his name to Dave, and his wife's Karen. And they're a pair of entertainers. Their birthdays are one day apart. Their birthdays are. So we went up and the side street, they actually had a unicycle hockey tournament in the side street of the main pitch of, Covent Garden.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a little, I don't think you call it a circus convention. I think it was just a circus get together because it was literally, there was no hall, there was nothing there. People were playing unicycle hockey, doing a bit of juggling.
Yeah.
I presume the main pitch was used for buskers and other stuff. So yes, that was, and the main thing I remember about that, it was like a full time, which was the predecessor to Circa Media, because there used to be a juggling club in, I don't know if you ever went to the church in Bristol, but there was a juggling club in, or a juggling school called Full Time, which was the predecessor to Circus Media.
Mm.
It was in a very small church. We used to play hockey in there We used to go over and meet people and play hockey in there, like about three a side or four a side because the hall was so small.
Oh, yeah. I think I went there a few years later with my Oxford City Psychos unicycle hockey team. I have memories of that place.
And it's not far from where Bristol Seven Wheelers play hockey now, but they play hockey in a big leisure centre. Not that far away from full-time circus school. Yeah, so it was sponsored, I might still have the t-shirt upstairs possibly. It was sponsored by full-time. And I think Cardiff's colour was pink, I think we got, because No Fit Staked was pink, so we asked for pink.
Mm.
And Dave Mariner was there.
Dave Mariner, another legend, built the DM unicycle, the best unicycle at the time, built in Britain. I've still got and use every day, 25, 30 years later, a DM giraffe unicycle. Awesome stuff. Dave Mariner, check him out.
And the full-time, the main sort of publicity stunt they got to get a bit of press, a stilted tandem, so two guys on stilts on a tandem.
Yeah.
They rode the A roads from Bristol to London.
Wow.
And they left whatever, how many days beforehand, and they arrived at during the convention. I think they got there the day before, and they just the speakers and stuff. Oh, and now the unicycle, the bicycle tandem people have arrived.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite fun. That's the main thing I remember about that one. So then roll on to the, was it the second or third BJC?
Hello. A few acronyms here. BJC means the British Juggling Convention. EJC means the European Juggling Convention. And later on you hear about the Unicon, which is the World Unicycle Championships. Okay, back to Russell.
So then roll on to the, was it the second or third BJC? It was in Bath.
Okay.
The BJC was in Bath. The second or third year, Charlie Dancy designed the t-shirt, and we actually had a huge hall to ourselves for unicycling in the daytime, and then I think in the night time they had a couple of nights they had shows on the stage, but we had huge hall to our, just for the unicyclists. All the jugglers were in the main leisure centre, and we were in this big pavilion hall opposite the road from the cricket ground in Bath. So yeah, so we had a huge hall doing various things, unicycle hockey and stuff. So it was like the second or third year. But I turned up at Birmingham at the Sixth British Juggling Convention, and I got there and found my friend Lee Jellyhead from Loonies.
Yes.
Ah, yeah, Lee Jellyhead. I have fond memories of Mr. Lee Jellyhead. He he's one of the founders of the London Unicycle Team, or Loonies, and of course he was very big in setting up unicycle hockey and the first British Unicycle Convention. Mr. Lee Jellyhead, check him out.
So I went into his camper van. He went, there's your unicycle, British Unicycle Convention t-shirt, and there's your British Juggling Convention organizer's hoodie. He said, oh, you're a co-organizer of the unicycle convention. Thanks, Lee. So I must have met Lee at the British Juggling Conventions, or, yeah, because it was the Sixth. We must have played hockey regularly then. So Lee Jellyhead from the Loonies, he was in a performance group called the Bally Hooligans.
The Bally Hooligans, yes.
Yeah. Well, I went, when I, Pete and I, my performance friend Pete.
I think that's Peter Gamble, a great, great entertainer.
We went to Circus Space. That must have been 25 plus years ago. We went to Circus Space and they were teaching Western skills.
Mm.
So we learnt whip crack, and we learnt knife throw, and we learnt lasso. And afterwards, Pete and I and this guy, we went to Covent Garden. And it was November November, early December. So we went to Covent Garden and we arrived and there was a crane. This guy said, oh yeah, they're doing bungee jumping. I went, okay, in Covent Garden. But, we got there, we did a bit of shopping, then we looked over at the Christmas tree. There was something going on. And at the Christmas tree, Alan, one of the Bally hooligans, he was strapped to the crane with the Bally hooligans, classic costume, Dr. Martin's tutu and rainbow braces, nothing else. and he had a fairy wand. Alan was basically the fairy on top of the tree, suspended for I think it was the light switch on. So when Alan came down, Pete and this other guy, we went over to see Alan. He said, oh, come, we'll go and find Lee Jellyhead.
Yeah.
So we went over to the performers, the buskers green room, because there's not, I never knew about it before, but the buskers actually got their own green room.
Mm.
And it was upstairs in Covent Garden. So we went up these stairs and Lee was in the green room, and in the middle of the green room was all trunks. There's a really good performer. I think he's been banned from England. Lucky Diamond Rich.
Yeah.
He does sword swallowing and buskin. He uses a wheelie bin to put his props in and stand on. And around the edge of the green room, it was just covered in 6 foot DMs, giraffe unicycles,
yeah,
all around the edge. Cause that was obviously the chosen unicycle. Yeah. So then Lee said, oh, we'll go to get some food, because they put a buffet on for the performers. And we went down the stairs from the green room, and we went back indoor and upstairs to another room. And David Essex was coming down the stairs, because he must have done the light switch on. And then Lee said, well, you staying for Pete? And oh, no, I'm going home to see my family. So me and Lee and Pete and the other guy, and I think Alan, we all went upstairs in one of the bars that they put an area for us, and we had some pizza. So yeah, so that must have been when I met Lee first. That might have been after. I can't remember. That was about 25. No, I met Lee 30 odd years ago. So yeah, so BJC6 in Birmingham.
Yeah.
About nearly 30 years ago. So we had unicycle hockey, unicycle games, and all sorts going on. So I just automatically become the co-organizer, not being told beforehand. There was a guy on a BMX, and he had a frame, and around the BMX he had a big circle frame.
Oh yeah.
And near Lee's camper van and near the balloon hall, he'd cycle along, put the front brake on, and it would do a forward roll with a metal frame around the unicycle. Was mad. That's one of the main things I remember about that. And then, so we had all the unicycles had a meet up, and we sort of an unofficial business meeting. And then the second British
unicycle
convention was in Cheltenham by Ali, or Hastings by, I think his name's Andy. Did you come to any of the early unicycle conventions?
I was, so if I can break in. So in 1990, I learnt to unicycle at my university juggling club. And so in 1991, I probably went, I think it was in Leeds, the British Juggling Convention was in Leeds in 91, maybe?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
1992, was it Coventry? Was it Coventry in 92?
The convention.
Or was it in Birmingham? Yeah. Birmingham. I was at the Birmingham when there was when Lee Jellyhead organised the first British Unicycle Convention.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
And, I was really, really into it. So I was the guy who said, why don't I just send a letter to all the unicycle teams I can find in Britain, and whoever can turn up to Oxford, which was where I was, we'll have a little tournament and we'll keep track of the points, and we can call this the British Unicycle Hockey League. That was to be 1992, 93, maybe 1993 by the time I organised that. I was so into it.
Yeah.
But then, of course, in 1994, I finished university, went travelling, got to Singapore, and then stayed there. So I kind of left it all behind. I tried really hard for 5 years and eventually got a unicycle and a jumping club going in Singapore. But I left the whole European scene behind. I came back once in 1996 just for a holiday. I went to the British Juggling Convention and the European Juggling Convention. And the Unicorn, I think. I went to a Unicorn somewhere, 1996 maybe.
Unicorn was in Guildford. It was the first time ever.
There.
That was the first time it ever came out of America and Japan. It was always in America and Japan. So Rocket, who's a rocket scientist, he organised it in Guildford.
Yes.
So I went in my old Astra van, and I was sleeping in my old Astra van. And, so it was, the mat things people were doing. I think it was the first time I ever see somebody doing a rolling mount onto a two-wheel unicycle, I think.
Yeah.
Onto a two-wheel giraffe, yeah. I think that's the first time I saw that. And, the people are doing, I remember one guy doing, Forrest Gump unicycle performance competition. Yeah, there was all sorts there, wasn't there? And it was it Guildford? I don't know if it was Guildford or a BJC. We all the unicyclists, we went to this hill not far away. Was it? No, I don't. It must be a BJC or an EJC or the Unicorn that we all went up this hill and we spaced out, and this Japanese team arrived for a day or two, and they all coasted down this big road, which was a one-way system uphill. So all the British guys were up the hill, sort of looking out for cars. And we watched all the Japanese people coasting, but all of them just coasting with their feet on the forks, and they were all just all coming down the hill.
Yeah.
And they literally stayed for the day. We chatted for them. They might have done a performance piece, and then they had to go again.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Unicorn in the UK by Rocket. Yeah, it was good fun.
That was brilliant. I loved it. It was so much fun.
Oh yeah.
I travelled all the way from Singapore just to go to it.
Yeah, normally it's in America or Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, so I travelled from Singapore, and that year I went to the first Unicorn in Britain, and then about two weeks later there was a European Juggling Convention somewhere in France, Avignon, and I went to that as well that year. It was really good fun, good year for me.
Was that the year, because Mr. Jules from Cardiff, he told me 1 year at the French EJC, people just keep coming, and they have to keep hiring more fields off the farmer to camp in.
Probably.
And he said it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And he said, the organisers just have to keep contacting the farmer to hire another field to camp in, because just so many thousands arrived.
I know. I got photos, and there were literally thousands and thousands of jugglers. It was a real boom time. It was quite amazing.
Well, that was right at the same time as was it more balls than most that were brought? These yuppie guys decided that juggling was on the boom, so they made the thuds in an executive box.
Yeah.
I think it was more balls than most, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The hippie jugglers hated it.
Yeah.
People who wanted these decent thuds who didn't know where to get them from and wanted a gift or something, they were buying the more balls than most balls in a box.
That's right, yeah, more balls than most picks up on the craze for a while.
Yeah.
For a while there were juggling shops selling unicycles in almost every single town, and then a few years later they were gone.
Yeah. Well, Oddballs have still got, they've got the shop in Brighton.
Yeah.
Oddballs have got the shop in Camden Market.
Yeah.
Well, Max's son Alex he runs the warehouse.
That's right,
the wholesale.
He does.
And you can check out my interview with the amazing Alex Oddball on this very podcast. It's the previous episode, episode 111. All right, let's get back to Russell.
We had the European Juggling Convention in the UK last year, and Roger from unicycle.com UK.
Roger Davies.
he was one of the main organisers and helpers over at the unicycle area. He was making steps, he was welding rails, he was doing all sorts. So I went over and they were doing a run of competitions to do freestyle over all the different ramps, steps, rails, stuff.
Trials, cycling, doing.
They were doing some good stuff. I don't know if somebody did it there, but I saw on Facebook yesterday, a guy was in some flatland or whatever you call it, unicycle competition, and he was holding the seat out in front. He jumped in the air, he pushed the seat. The seat went completely underneath the wheel, back round, and he landed it.
I've seen a picture of that.
All the competitors and all the audience went wild. So yeah. I've in 30 odd years, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, the skill level of unicycling has gone so much higher. Like when I started in 1990, the fact that I could ride a unicycle meant that I automatically could score a goal in unicycle hockey because some of the other people on unicycles couldn't really ride them. And now, if you could do a wheel walk in 1990s, that was like wow.
Yeah.
But now,
we used to say to new unicyclists when they come to club, we're saying, well, come and play hockey because it's the best thing to do when you've just learned, because you can lean on the stick and the adrenaline, you're concentrating on the ball, you're not really concentrating on riding, you concentrate on the ball and the game, and you can lean on the stick.
You must have taught loads of people to unicycle. If someone's listening to this podcast and it's not just unicyclists, it's jugglers, magicians, if someone wants to learn a unicycle, have you got any tips on after all your years of teaching it, how someone could learn to unicycle?
Well, the main one is owning one. You can go to a workshop. You can go to a workshop. You can go to a club, but realistically, you need to own one.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the main one. I always recommend for teenage to adults a 20-inch, but I think the Americans, they always sort of push for 24-inch, don't they?
Yeah.
That's a 20-inch size wheel versus a 24-inch size wheel.
Some countries in America, they go 24-inch, so I'm always 20-inch. Yeah, and getting the seat height right. I didn't realise till earlier this year that the height of a seat and the size of a hula hoop is the same to get the right size. So to get the right size unicycle, you need up to hip height.
Yes.
Or waist height, sorry.
Yeah.
Waist. And the hula hoop's the same. The hula hoop should be, when you hula hoop touching the ground, that should be up to waist height as well to get the right size hula hoop.
Well, that's
this
very
year.
Good. So now my podcast is not only useful for unicyclists, but also for would-be hula hoopers.
To learn it, a lot of people always learn it in what I call the dead position when one pedal's at the ground. But I always like to teach it what I call the live position.
Yeah.
You can get on in the dead position and then do a quarter of a pedal backwards or forwards into the live position.
Yes.
But I like to start people in the live position. And one, it's easier, and two, you can learn free mount quicker. Because if you do it from live, well, Pete, my performance friend who I did shows for 20 years, his daughter, she came to the third British Unicycle Convention, which I organised in Penarth. So I got Semcycle came over. Roger was there. I forgot. There's a couple in Germany.
Yeah.
Bracey and not was his name Sammy?
I think Sammy, yeah.
So Sammy and Tracy, they taught 50 tricks and tips and mounts on a unicycle. Doing all sorts. You cup your hand on the front of the seat and spin it round, and you can make the unicycle spin round.
Yes. You just spin. I remember that.
And then we did, I think they call it the basketball. If you balance the unicycle upright at the right position, you can bounce the seat with your hand and you can make it bounce. And there was all sorts. And the one thing I organized, I never think happened ever again, was, a UV obstacle course. So I hired out a couple of squash courts. I think one was for workshops, and then the other one, I took black cloth, one or two UV tubes with the metal cover, loads of UV tape, and Pete and his family, they went and set up the UV obstacle course. We cut circles and we blue tacked UV circles around the room. Then I had UV bean bags for the slalom. I made some wooden steps. We put UV tape on them. And then years later, we used the UV steps in the fire unicycle jousting show.
Whoa.
Me and Gordon, Fiery Jack. He was the bad knight, I was the good knight. And then we had a jester, we had narrator, and we had the queen. And we used the steps of the queen to get on her royal cart.
Yeah.
And Gordon and I choreographed a complete unicycle jousting fire show. The jousting sticks were on fire. The shields were on fire. The unicycles had wick in the spokes, and we had fire rope. So yeah. We had fire hoops, and you had to go along and pick up a fire hoop, and you had to hit a fire shield to make it spin round.
Did you have your unicycle with like the hobby head horse in front of your unicycle saddle, so it kind of looked like your unicycle was a horse?
Possibly then. I do it now, yeah. when I do my Western show when I do the Western show, I've got a horse's head that I fit on then.
But let's get back to Russell Wells organising the third British Unicycle Convention. Take it away, Russell.
Yeah, so we had lots of unicycle, hockey. I think a couple of people played basketball. That's unicycle basketball's hard. In America, they do it a lot. But yeah, I found
it
hard.
Well, it was hard for us because we hadn't played it before.
Yeah,
we hadn't even played basketball. on our feet.
Yeah, we at the end of the first day, we had a gala show, and a few people did different unicycle performances and juggling performances, and I was comparing it, and I forgot that I'd spoken to the Cardiff Ice Rink. Because I used to work there,
yeah.
But I had confirmed that we were coming that night. So we were coming up to the interval, and I said to us, "Oh no, I've forgotten." And I said, "Oh, I was meant to confirm the ice rink." So I rang the ice rink before we went to the interval, and then we came then and there, or after the interval. I said, "Yes, we can have it." So about 30 of us after the gala show, when we shut everything down. We all jumped in cars and went to Cardiff. There was about 30 of us. It was a full ice hockey pitch. And we played London versus the rest of the world. And yeah, so it was, so that was the first and last ever game of unicycle ice hockey I ever played.
Unicycle ice hockey?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the unicycle slip over on the ice?
No, because they kept the chillers on for me, and it was all cut up.
Yeah.
You get the odd slip, but you could play. There wasn't like it was a total mess. But you could actually play unicycle ice hockey.
Whoa.
Yeah. and then the other most memorable unicycle hockey game I remember, we in the there was a community site of Nofit State Cardiff in Cardiff called Splot State Circus, and it was for community and everybody could perform in that show. Mm-hmm. So about 15 years ago, we put a show together, a unicycle ballet. Mm-hmm. We had the full white ballet costumes on.
I've seen some photos on the internet. Yeah.
We had full white tutus. some of us wore them back to the front, and the black swan was Howie, yeah. And he was on a little bicycle. I think he might be on a little unicycle. And then at the end, he came on a giraffe.
Oh, and, wonderful.
So he was the black swan on a giraffe unicycle.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that was fun. Yeah. Yeah, so we did the Splot on the Landscape show in Cardiff in a theatre. And then Martin King Shears, he organised a convention in North Wales called Party on the Pier. And he booked us to do the unicycle ballet at the party in the pier in North Wales.
Yeah.
And it was such a small stage, there was no wings.
Oh.
And Paul Alexander, one of my unicycle friends who was in the ballet, he said, we'll just stay at the back, because there was loads of space at the back of the auditorium.
Yeah.
So we just got dressed at the back behind this screen or in the toilet in our white tutus. And so when our music started, We then walked up the middle of the aisle,
yeah,
with our unicycles, doing a little ballet step, and then we did the unicycle ballet show on this lovely old pier that's no longer there because it fell into the sea because the council wouldn't help this guy, and one evening, mm-hmm, where they tip the boats down and they turn around in that pad to reverse down to drop the boats into the water. Yeah. So we had about 5 meter by 10 meter flat concrete. We had the two little goals.
Yeah.
And then we got a pint and we put paraffin in it.
Uh-huh.
And I donated a tennis ball or two.
Yeah.
And we played fire unicycle hockey. it was about three aside. I think because it wasn't a very big pitch. I think we took it in turns. We played a few games. So yeah, we played three aside, fire unicycle hockey.
Were you still dressed as ballerinas?
No, of course not, because they were nylon. So that was a no go. Yeah. So that was one of the other most unusual games unicycle hockey.
Ever. That's a good one.
But the learning, the one good learning technique I did see good at, I can't remember who organised it, which group. They actually had an old, you can pick them up, most countries I think you'll pick up, an old trampoline, circular trampoline frame.
Okay.
So basically, there's the trampoline springs and mats not in there.
Yeah.
But the big, like, 7-10 metre ring and the stands.
Yeah.
And then they put two ratchet straps from either side to keep the ring taut.
Yeah.
So then you can hold on to that, and then you can just keep going round, because it's a circle.
Ah.
So you could hold on to the ring. And at the third British Unicycle Convention, I was saying that Pete was there, and his family helped, and his daughter was about 8 at the time, and she wanted to learn to unicycle. She'd never ridden a bike, but I taught her to unicycle, and because I was adamant that she learnt in the what I call live position,
yeah,
to keep her the feet. She just couldn't get it. She just kept on pushing down with the back leg.
Yeah.
So what we did, she had Dr. Martin's on, and I got a belt or a piece of strap, and we put a strap from her Dr. Martin loop to the back of her belt loop in her jeans, so she could. So she couldn't bend her knee. So there was one person either side of her, and it was literally to make sure she locked her knee,
yeah,
to get on to do the free mount. So yeah, we put a belt so she couldn't bend her knee. So she literally, to learn to free mount in the live position. We used a belt to help with that. If you're doing a workshop and you want to teach somebody safely, then you'll hold them, tell them to use a hold. But if you've got a teenager or an adult who's up for it, then I'll teach them how I learned to get in, to hold onto a wall or a step or a chair or a pair of chairs, get into the live position, then go for it. Quarter a pedal, do half a pedal.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I won the lottery, I would make a unicycle training mat, which would basically be a huge square, a huge rectangle or square mat, a circular look nice, a big, huge, like 5 meters circular mat with a hole in the middle, and then it's got motors underneath and sensors. So when you ride, the mat moves with you. So as soon as you fall off, then you could fall onto the mat. Yeah. So any eccentric millionaires watching the reading or watching this podcast, if you want to make that come true,
invest here
in Rustin's paint and no injury. Russell, no, you're trying to get an acronym. Yeah.
Russell's
injury free unicycle trainer. So Riffet. Yeah. So that'd be, I think that'd be the safest way to learn. I'm sure some clubs have done rows of crash mats or rows of mats. Yeah, there's so many ways to learn. I've seen people using the broomstick with a rubber stopper on the end. I've seen them use, sort of trying to use it like skiing, using brooms to hold yourself.
Yeah. And let's end you with some unicycle hockey. The British Unicycle Hockey League that I was one of the co-founders of back in the early 1990s. Let's talk to Russell.
The league that started in the early 90s, there's still teams meeting up and playing in league and stuff.
Wow.
Loonies are still doing well. But yeah, back in the mid to early 90s, Cardiff was really good. But back in the early days, there was more unicycle hockey teams than ice hockey teams.
Wow.
Back in the early to mid 90s. Yeah, like Bristol had two teams, Bath, Cardiff, Oxford.
That's the team I started, the Oxford City Psychos.
Oxford, Hastings, I think it was Hastings Hokey Cokies, I think. But yeah, there was loads of teams we used to do tournaments.
Oh yeah, I remember. Oh, it's really good fun. I was just there for a year or two, but 1992, 93, and then 94, I'd gone.
One convention that Lee Jellyhead was at, he actually got Channel 4 to come and film it. So, I can't remember if it was ref or what, but yeah, they wanted it, like most TV programs, they want it a bit up and excited. So we played unicycle. And not long ago, Cardiff was on the one show.
Wow.
Because one of the presenters, I can't remember his name, he is a unicyclist.
Ah.
And his dad's always saying to him, the production, oh, we need more unicycle things. So the presenter, he got on a unicycle. He cycled out of the studio.
Yeah.
Somebody, as he got near the pitch, somebody passed him a hockey stick. And then there was a ball near the goal ready for him to have a shot at goal. So, yeah. And the other mad one, I didn't tell you because the wife was about yesterday. at the World Unicycle Convention, I don't know if you remember seeing me partway through, but I had a sling on.
Okay.
Because Sem Cycle had a stool there.
Yeah.
And I took my stilts with me.
Yeah.
I took my stilts on the off chance. They actually, so Sem's dad and the Sem team built a giraffe unicycle with the multi wheels.
Yeah.
But so it's a three wheeler.
Yeah.
But they put the pedals on the bottom wheel.
Yes.
So So I had knee pads on. I had the stilts on. I had Yuri one side and Sem the other side.
Stilts. Yeah, wearing stilts, riding a specially made giraffe unicycle. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I unicycled for a while. I fell off. The pair of them didn't catch me. I landed on the ground and broke my right radial head in my elbow. And the other mad one, 30-ish years ago, I was working in a hotel in Porthcawl, and I heard these two guys chatting about bed of nails. Uh-huh. And I was working in the bar, and I saw either of you do bed of nails, and the one guy said, "Yeah, I do bed of nails." I said, "I've always wanted a unicycle on top of somebody who's been on the bed of nails. So he said, "I'll come to this pub in Cardiff," and upstairs in this pub in Cardiff, they've got a boxing training space.
Yeah.
And so I went there. He had the bed of nails. He had a plank of wood. And we put the plank wood on top of him.
Yeah.
And bed of nails underneath him. Somebody held me, and the board was just too wobbly, whatever he did.
Yeah.
And I went, "Oh," and he said, we'll have to do the Iron Maiden. And I went, "What do you mean the Iron Maiden?" So we put a bed of nails under him.
Yeah.
A bed of nails on top of him. And then I unicycled on top of him with a, he was in a bed of nails sandwich. Yeah. And then we did it. Then we did it again. That was just the practice. Then we did it at this fake show thing, and they actually had the boxing ring up on this fake ground, and it was so rough in the hall, pub type building where the fake ground was on.
Mm-hmm.
There was fighting. It was like a western. There was chairs coming out of the window. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I was glad I was with a boxer, and we had a boxing ring. So when I did my bit, nobody could get me because we had a natural 360-degree stage.
Okay, listen, Russell.
Yep. Yeah.
This is going to have to be a two-parter because this was my first question. You know, talk about unicycling, and I have lots of other questions about your actual what you went on your career.
We can do that now if you want.
I've got to go. It's up to you. I've got to go and get my dinner because it's my family dinner time.
All right, fellas. So I'll put it in the diary for 10 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Part two.
And I better put an ending to this one. So I can edit this in. I always say something like,
"Yeah,
I'll do it now." So I'll say it now. So, Russell Wells, thank you so much for chatting. Oh, that sounds rubbish. Let me see it. That sounds really fake. But basically, Russell, look, thanks so much. I haven't seen you for almost 30 years. You've changed my life with unicycle hockey. I'm still playing it. And I will talk to you again tomorrow for part two. All right?
Tomorrow.
All right,
thanks, please. Ben.
Thank you.
Good job.
Take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye, mate. We talked about the unicycle ballet. We also did it at the Wales Assembly Building, which is basically Westminster for Wales.
The government they have for Wales. Yeah.
So we're doing that in the evening, and in the afternoon, we actually did it on Britain's Got Talent the very first year it was in the UK.
Whoa. That's probably somewhere on YouTube then, isn't it? It's on Britain's Got Talent. It's probably somewhere on YouTube somewhere.
The ballet's on YouTube somewhere. Yeah, I saw it a little while back.
Fantastic.
A few days back.
Yeah, check it out. Go onto YouTube and just search for Unicycle Ballet and you'll see Russell and the guys in their white tutus. And, of course, contact Russell Wells at russellwells@live.com or go to his website, pickandmix.co.uk. That's pick-n-mix.co.uk. All right. Talk to you again soon. Take care. Goodbye.